Welcome to the Engineering Influence Podcast, sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust. One of the biggest business impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic has been the transition to working at home for many professional and office workers. In many downtowns and suburbs, offices are dark and empty. Not surprisingly, this situation has raised questions about the concept of the office. Many pundits have speculated that our traditional views on the office must change and that remote work will play an increasingly large role, maybe even a major role in the future. Others promote the benefits of the office, collaboration, teamwork, efficiency, and argue that once the pandemic has abated, we will return to the office. This is an important discussion for the engineering industry and for firms that work in the office space. To discuss these issues and more, we're here with Carl Schilling of Stantec. He is a principal based in the firm's Butler, Pennsylvania office and has more than two decades of experience focusing on the sustainability of the built environment. Carl, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So in the initial days and weeks of the pandemic, many companies shut down their offices and employees began working virtually. Assuming that we eventually have a vaccine for the virus, do you expect the virtual work environment to perpetuate, or will we return to the old normal, or will we find something in between?
No, thank you for the question. We, like many companies around, vacated our offices and performed our businesses remotely. And I will admit, I did not expect it to work as well as it has. The technology has come through. We've been very successful in conducting our business virtually through, through like the interview today, Zoom meetings, team meetings, whatever. They've worked very well. But, like you're asking, we're thinking ourselves, what does the next couple months mean? What does next year mean? How are we going to conduct business in the future? So beyond our personal experience, we have also polled a lot of our clients, over 130 of them actually, to get their perception on what we think is going to happen in the future so that we can position ourselves to design appropriate space and moving on. What we found is that although it's been successful, we're missing the human component. So we're hoping that beyond today, tomorrow, that there's still going to be some interaction within the office, whether that's 2 days a week, 3 days a week, but people have learned that they can be effective from home. So what we used to be considered a luxury of being able to work from home is now going to be considered the norm. So I think there's going to be an expectation of, yes, we still need the office space where we can go in and collaborate and understand our partners, their in-person reactions to real life situations. But we also understand that we can be effective from home, and there's some advantages to being home with our spouses, our wives, our children, and conducting business from that thing. So what we're expecting is that, yes, there's still going to be a demand for office space, but that workers probably won't be coming back 5 days a week, 40 hours like was prior to the coronavirus situation.
So as an office designer, as an engineer, what does that mean in office design? Is this going to change it?
It will. And so one of the questions that's paramount is, do you need the same amount of square footage or space to conduct business that you did prior to entering the pandemic? And what we're coming back from is the dedicated office space that people are used to having, your cubicle, whatever, to do your work, is probably going to change. Because typically it does not provide the right amount of separation or distancing from coworkers. But if we go into design and expect to be able to provide that, maybe the same amount of square footage works, but we have to reconfigure it so that it still promotes interaction between coworkers, but we may need to spread out. So less people are going to be in the office at any given time, but it's going to take maybe a larger square footage to accomplish the same thing.
In your conversations with your clients, what are their concerns?
So it's kind of the same thing, is how do I get my people into the office safely? How do they interact safely while they're there? And, you know, we've all been out shopping in the meantime during the pandemic, and you see one-way aisles, you see limitations of maybe we can't all go in at the same time. So that, I think that's what we're going to see, is you may go into the office, but you have to enter at multiple points at your office location so that there isn't a large grouping of people at any one location. When you get into the office, there might be direction. It might need, it's probably not going to be arrows on the floor, but there's probably going to be within the design, just elements to encourage people to not all go the same way or conglomerate in the same place. And you're probably going to see people spread out a little more than what you see in today's, but there's still going to be spaces where you can interact with each, with individuals and do your work and see, you know, there's probably also going to be additional technology within those spaces so that your coworkers and stuff that aren't in the office at the time can log in, dial in, whatever, and be a part of the team, whether they're there personally or not.
So you mentioned retail as sort of one area that you can take some lessons from. I mean, this is a unique situation. So where have you looked for guidance to make design decisions on to deal with the health and safety concerns?
I think I've mentioned to you prior to we started the call that we do multiple types of buildings, and one of them is healthcare. And doing that kind of design has given us a lot of direction on, you know, is the virus transmitted through the air? Is it mainly a contact risk? Those kind of things really go across building types. It doesn't necessarily just be, it isn't necessarily just indicative of the office environment. And so the first thing is the biggest risk is proximity to your coworkers. And, you know, we've heard this 6 feet, you know, the particle size that you put off wearing mask, you know, does the mask stop it? But as the particles dry, you know, do they float longer than a couple hours? So, you know, we're thinking about distance between workers. We're thinking about, is it distributed by the air handling systems? So there's many aspects to how do we keep people safe.
Focusing on HVAC, what do you expect to see the changes in HVAC going forward?
So the first thing is ventilation. So there's three main bullet points. The first one is ventilation. The minimum that we have to think about is, do the systems within the building provide the minimum ventilation rates required by current code, whether that's the International Mechanical Code, whether that's ASHRAE 62. But a lot of office spaces, you know, for energy efficiency reasons, whatever, have reduced the amount of outside air, have chosen not to do it when they're in off hours. But I think there's a general understanding out there now that we need to continually ventilate the spaces we're in. The benefit to the personnel kind of outweighs the energy demand on the building. Number two, filtration. Typical filtration for office environments is like a MERV 6, 25, 30%. And I think there's an understanding out there that can the particle sizes that we're dealing with, the virus size, can it be captured by a filter? It can. We're all wearing masks, right? So masks aren't a very high particulate filter, but the virus lives in things that are larger, like water drops and things like that. So the same thing applies to HVAC systems, where if we put higher efficiency filters in, there is a benefit to the office environment. Now, the parallel argument with that is I'm going to need more horsepower and fans to push the air through the higher efficiency filters. So there is an efficiency offset with putting in higher efficiency filters. I'm going to use more energy to do that. And then lastly, is there's lots of products coming to market that we all trust, we've been using, that have a benefit with the virus, whether it is additional filtration, HEPA filtration, whether it's UV lighting, whether it's a technology like bipolar ionization. These are all things we need to have in our toolkit, in our approach to making spaces safer that we can employ to respond to the demand that's out there to make our spaces safer.
One sort of, in many office buildings, one choke point would be the elevator, because you have to get people upstairs, and they, elevators by nature are confined space. What do you see happening with elevators?
I've seen a raft of things coming to light. And again, it's, what are you dealing with, an existing situation, or are you dealing with a new design? So the most creative thing that I've heard reported to me, and it was experienced by one of our own employees visiting a client site, was they entered an elevator, and it was an existing elevator. It was a small facility. The owner had put a sponge, attached a sponge to the wall, and put a bunch of toothpicks in the sponge. And whenever you entered the elevator, you were to pick a toothpick and use that to push the button. So that was a very low dollar, very innovative solution to be as safe as they could with what they had. On the other end of the spectrum, as we're designing new elevators, there's all kinds of new control technologies out there where, instead of going to the elevator lobby and entering an elevator and pushing a conventional button, before you even get to the lobby, there's a panel there where you can enter where you want to go, right? And that panel then looks at where the elevators in the building are, directs you to a specific one, can control how many participants are in that elevator, that particular car at one point, and delivers you to the floor without ever having to touch anything within the elevator itself. So there is a lot of technology coming out to address that situation. But we have a whole lot of existing elevators that we're going to have to be creative in what are we going to do, for those specific cases.
Fair point, yes. So the forecasts, the economic forecasts for the office market are pretty bleak right now. What opportunities does Stantec see?
Again, communicating with our clients, I think there's a lot of waiting to see what has happened. I will say that whenever I left the office back at the beginning of the year, I never expected that we would be gone this long. It has perpetuated far longer than I ever expected. Excuse me. So I think everybody's kind of in a holding and a waiting pattern to see where this is going. Is there going to be an additional infection rate here in the fall as weather gets colder, as the humidity level drops? We're all going to be more susceptible to the virus. So I think it's going to be another 6 months of what we're seeing. But I really think that, as I started out, that there is a real desire for offices to open back up and people to at least get back into the office, in some way, so that we can continue what we're doing. I call it, we're surviving just fine, but we are not thriving. We need to do additional things that we're not doing now to get younger people into the office, get new people into the workforce that it isn't possible remotely like we're doing.
So for an engineering perspective, it's sort of going to be, do you think it'll be more retrofit and renovation work in the short to midterm?
I do. Yes. Yeah. So we're going to take a look at the existing systems. I said, we're going to assess them. Are they bringing in any outside air or the right amount of outside air? I think we're going to look at, do all areas of the office have air distribution? Are there any dead spots? I think we're going to look at, can the existing air handling units support additional filtration beyond what they're at right now? And then I think we're going to be looking at, can we apply things like UV lighting to sterilize the airflow? Can we employ things like bipolar ionization within the airstream to sterilize the airstream and the environment? There are ionized hydrogen peroxide has come onto the market. That can be independent of the air handling system. There's devices that we can just hang on the wall to d- deliver these ions to the space to clean the surfaces, to sterilize the air. There's many things out there that I think we can apply without spending a lot of money to make the spaces safer.
On a broader scale, there's been a lot of talk that one of the impacts of the pandemic will be that the downtown business districts will shrink and the offices will move to the suburbs where there's less density. What is Stantec's view on that?
Yeah, we're not seeing that. We're seeing that companies are still going to make the decision on where they want to locate their offices based upon serving their clients and where it makes the most sense for their office to be. I think what you're going to see is the opportunity for employees to choose whether to go into the office more or less, independent of where the office happens to be located. We're not seeing that companies are changing their business approach. Some of them are hub and spoke, where the hub is within the city and the spokes are out into the suburbs. Some companies choose to do work in the suburbs. You know, that's where their clients are and they interact. So I don't think the specific office location is necessarily going to change. I think it's going to be focused on the ability to give the workforce the opportunity to say, I'm going to be there all the time or I'm not going to be there all the time. And part of that is attracting new talent. And the new generation of employees are going to demand the flexibility to say, I'm going to work from home. I'm going to come into the office. And I think that's where companies will find success in not necessarily changing the office location, changing what they're asking their employees to do.
Great. Well, that gives a good insight into the office market. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.